Wenn ihr jemals Star Wars gesehen habt, wart ihr vielleicht von den vielen holographischen Videos im Film fasziniert. Zur Enttäuschung vieler Fans sind aber solche Hologramme noch keine Realität. Die Hologramme, die heute zum Beispiel bei Kreditkarten oder Banknoten benutzt werden, sind nämlich hauptsächlich statisch. Diese Qualitätslücke ist vor allem auf die geringe Menge an Informationen zurückzuführen, die bei modernen Hologrammen gespeichert werden kann. Zumindest bis jetzt. Forscher am Nano-Institut der LMU haben jedoch eine Methode entwickelt, um komplexeren und dynamischeren Hologrammen zu schaffen. Darüber habe ich mit Dr. Horan Rang gesprochen, Umweltforschungsstipendiat am Nano-Institut der LMU und Leiter des Projekts. Ich bin Giada Severini und ihr hört Neutron, den Wissenspodcast auf M94.5.
Seit der Veröffentlichung einer Studie
digitales Modell der Lunge.
Dadurch kann der Auskühlungsprozess der Leiche
Milliliter pro Kilogramm idealisiertes Körpergewicht.
Ach, Fantastika.
Ziel der Wissenschaftlerinnen und Wissenschaftler ist es
Neutron. Neues aus der Forschung.
So, Dr. Ran, thank you very much for being with us today in the first place. Would you maybe start by telling me how and when the first form of hologram developed?
Yes. Holography was a Nobel-winning invention. It is back to 1970s. It was discovered by Dennis Gabor, who invented this holographic method using the electron beams. At that time, there was no laser. But his invention in electron beams eventually they proved to be also true in optics field. And due to the invention of the laser, then the optical holography becomes the reality.
And how does this optical hologram work? Exactly.
The conventional way is you have object, which is something like you want to get the image, and then you have a reference beam. So object beam and the reference beam, these two beams, they get interfere each other. And if you have like kind of a media to record this interference pattern, it's called a photographic interference pattern, which is called a hologram. This is based on a conventional optical holography. Why it's called optical holography? Because you use the two optical beams to get this interference pattern, which is called a hologram.
Okay, I see. Sounds like a complex process. But this is not all, because besides optical holograms, there are also these so-called digital holograms, right? So could you maybe briefly explain the difference?
Nowadays, people start to digitalize this hologram instead of have to have a real object and get the information from this object, and you have a reference beam. So the optical setup is really complicated in this sense. And instead of doing like this kind of interference approach, people develop the method is called a digital holography. You can pre-calculate what is the specific hologram pattern, and then you use the nanofabrication or even the microfabrication technology to digitalize the hologram. You don't have to have a real object, but you can imagine the object is there, and in your computer you can calculate what would be the hologram. This is what we call is a digital hologram.
Okay, if I remember well, there is one more important distinction to make here between static and dynamic holograms. I understood one of the reasons your research is so significant is that your holograms are moving away from the purely static holography and aiming more and more at holographic videos. So closer to the dynamic holography, right?
Nowadays, most of the commercial products or even the research in the holographic field mainly focus on the static hologram, which means you have the single hologram and then you get a single image. And now instead of like recording single image to the single hologram, we can record up to 200 different images by the single hologram.
This sounds amazing. And how come you were able to achieve this result? What method did you use exactly?
The method that we developed is called multiplexing. You have multiple beams with different special modes. The holography is like you shine in the light, you get the image. For the static pattern, you can only get a single pattern, but that's based on the single mode. Then you can imagine it's kind of a twisted photon, so which means the light is like a twisted light. So depending on how you twist this light, this kind of of a special mode. They can store the information and then they can carry independent information. So we use this method, you know, to store the more information into the single hologram.
Okay, I must admit we are probably talking about something very technical here. So can you please explain once more what the special twisted light is exactly? And how can we divide light in the special modes?
It's kind of like the distribution of the electric field, because the light is the electromagnetic field, and depending on how you distribute their energy, the electric field, and you could create different optical modes. So it could be like the twisted mode -1, twisted mode +1, -2, +2. They can be separated like kind of a distribution. So any beam can be decomposed into this kind of a distribution, and then you could have many options in this case, depending on how many twists, and then you can have many different modes. So like the information can now be independently stored in this kind of modes.
And is this twisted light being already used in other fields?
This kind of a twisted light has already been used by many other different applications, such as the optical communication, optical imaging. They use these twisted photons to carry independent information channel. You know, the optical communication like the Wi-Fi and also the fiber-based communication. And in order to cram for more data, to be able to store more information into the single fiber. But that's in the optical communication field in that application, but never been realized in holography field.
Okay, so you were the first. And can we say that thanks to this method, your hologram is already fully dynamic, or perhaps not yet?
That's a really good question. Yes. So based on the current technology, it is still static. But the way that we get this a bit more dynamic fashion, it's not like a really tuning the optical response to the single pixel like the TV, so that each pixel can dynamically be addressed differently. But the way that we develop it is still a bit like a static, because the information pattern that we stored is fixed. So you can always get different images, but pre-recorded, but you cannot get the image beyond what we have stored. So basically it's a static image, but it's a range of the images.
Now that we understood more about this twisted light, maybe we can have a look at the overall process. So apart from the special light, another key step is to develop a device called the metasurface. Can you tell us more about it?
There's two key steps. The first is we have to develop this twisted light sensitivity in holography. The second one is to realize such device. To be able to realize, we use the 3D direct laser writing technology, which is like 3D printing. And the metasurface, this kind of a surface structures, has some optical properties that are beyond the conventional optical materials. And then we developed the metasurface to be sensible to this kind of special modes. And we send different modes, the special twisted modes, to this metasurface to reconstruct the different images.
So basically, every holograph you want to produce needs its own metasurface as well. Sounds like a lot of work. And is there something new also, maybe in the way you create this metasurface?
In general, people use some techniques to build up this metasurface, which is a very expensive technology. You have to do this in the clean room with very expensive technology. But we are using 3D laser printing. It's much more cheaper and the straightforward method. And one of the biggest advantages is that this can go to the 3 dimension and also can go to the large scale, because in general, each device is around 100 micron by 100 micron footprint, which is really small. For scientific research, I think it's fine, but for the real world applications, it's really difficult, challenging. But the metasurface that we printed is 2.5 millimeter by 2.5 millimeter, like a coin. It's much larger than the conventional metasurface device.
Okay, so not only your light, also your metasurface is special. Now, I would like to know, beside research, what would be, in your opinion, a potential application of your complex holograms in the everyday life out there?
The encryption could be also a nice idea, because banknote or the credit card, we have like this kind of a static hologram. For instance, if you have decided to encode these numbers from 0 to 9, For each number, you give a specific modes, and then you have to do this encoding. You correspond this number to be this modes, and the other number to be other different modes, and then you superpose all these calculated holograms together to make this kind of multiplexed hologram. And then you have to get the correct password, which is like this modes and the specific order of this kind of a twisted light in order to really see the correct code.
That sounds very safe. I would for sure get one myself if I had the chance. But tell me, everything sounds too perfect. Is there perhaps also some limitation to your method?
There's two limitations. The first is like our metal surface, we have to say it's still a static device. So whatever you design, then it's designed. So like you cannot get the information beyond what you have already encoded. For instance, you can never get the letters from the hologram if it's already pre-designed based on the number, right? So like from the 0 to 9, so that's all the information you can get. Even though the order of this number could be different, but you cannot get the other information other than the one that we have already designed in this hologram. This is what we call pre-design. The second limitation is the practical limitation of the modes number. We cannot go to theoretically infinitely large special modes. We have our practical limit, which is around 500 in our lab, you know, because in our lab we use a specific device which is called a specialized modulator to generate this kind of special modes. So the device has certain resolution and the certain size, so you cannot really generate even higher order modes more than 500.
I see. Well, 500 sounds like a lot anyways. It would not be easy to hack for sure. Thank you very much, Dr. Ren, for being with us today. We wish you and your team good luck with your further research.
Thank you very much for inviting us.
Neutron. Neues aus der Forschung.